We're proud to be from Ohio, and it's always been Ohio against the world.
Hey, Buckeye Nation, Joe Warwick here, your host of the Buckeye Cast. Check out the Buckeye Cast on your favorite podcast app. From the latest Ohio State news to in-depth recruiting updates, the Buckeye Cast has you covered every day. Find us on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe now and get your Buckeye football fix with the Buckeye Cast. Go Bucks!
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 311 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, back from a long trip away. Finally glad to have you back, the godfather, Bill Lack. How are you, Bill?
I'm fine. I've been out campaigning for my mission to replace the current commissioner of baseball. I think I am the obvious choice to be the new commissioner of baseball.
Well, I don't know that I would vote for you. I'll say, though, that you're more qualified than Rob Manfred.
You wouldn't vote for me?
No, gosh, no.
You don't think I could improve the game?
No, I don't know.
You don't think I could not ruin the game?
No, I think you'd probably ruin the game.
I'm hurt. I'm deeply hurt.
We've never agreed on a single thing ever. Why would you think I would support you in a campaign to be the commissioner of baseball?
Because somebody has to rip the job away from this boob.
Yeah, what's going on with Rob Manfred? I mean, it seems like it's too simple to say that we have a commissioner who really doesn't like baseball. I think he's actually, here's my opinion on it. Rob Manfred is extremely popular with the people that employ him, which are the owners. That's my opinion.
He must be. I mean, you know, otherwise, why would they put up with his nonsense? But everything can't be about money, because if it is, sooner or later, that runs out.
Maybe. It's a business. I don't know.
You know, and you know, you read some of this stuff, you know, where they talk about his ideas and, you know, he's trying to grow the game and he's trying to, you know, make it exciting for young people and like that. And to me, I would be more, and I know this, you know, this is an old guy thing again, but I would be trying to educate people that aren't big fans as to why it's such a great game the way it is.
But Rob Manfred doesn't know why it's a great game.
Apparently he doesn't. He's one of those guys that's sitting there watching the game tapping his foot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or going woo.
Hey, easy now. Come on. Nothing wrong with that. Love the woo.
No, we don't love the woo.
Love the woo. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Reds, shall we?
I would love to.
Let's do that. There's not really that much to talk about. We do have a number of viewer mail questions that'll get us into some other topics around the Reds. But we'll start with just what minimal news there was this week. Position players reported to spring training this week. So, you know, a lot of them were already there early, but the rest of them were mandated to be there. They've taken their physicals. They've had their first full squad workout. And this weekend, first spring training game of the season. So the Cactus League begins. Are you ready for some actual baseball?
I will actually probably watch whatever is on. And now, normally during the season, I'm more of just a Reds watching guy. But, you know, when you're jonesing for some baseball, you'll watch, you know, whatever MLB.com throws up on or MLB channel throws up on the old TV there. So I'm hoping to see some good baseball this weekend.
So what you're telling me is that if I FaceTime you from my son's junior varsity baseball games, you'll watch it.
Sure.
It's baseball. Well, it's kind of baseball.
It's baseball.
If you want to turn people off from baseball, you should make them watch junior varsity baseball.
No, that's not nice. You're talking about your son there.
Oh, he's great. He's the best player in the history of the world, and I'm not biased at all. But, you know, it's still junior varsity baseball. If I wanted to watch bad baseball, I'd watch the Reds. Wait a minute.
Not anymore, baby.
Yeah, not anymore. That's right. So,
and Tuesday at 3:10 p.m., you can get your first look at the new Reds on television.
Yeah, I think the first game is going to be on the radio. If anyone actually listens on a radio anymore, or it'll be on your MLB app, I guess. But yeah, we'll get some actual television coverage from Arizona, and I'm excited to see how they look, and excited to see how things kind of shape up. Although a lot of the position players, a lot of the spots on the roster, we have a question about that later. We'll get into it. A lot of the spots are kind of already taken up, so it's going to be interesting mostly to see how David Bell's going to kind of shift things around, move players around. And there's a lot of excitement and anticipation to see how that all that plays out. Now, not a whole lot of other news. The one news, I guess it's kind of news. There's this rumor that the Padres and the Red Sox were engaged in trade negotiations, and that the Reds were somehow discussed as becoming a part of a 3-team deal involving outfielder Nick Senzel. And people went nuts with it. And, you know, I read the reports, and one source said that the deal for Senzel would be a quote-unquote long shot. I can't see anything that the Padres might have that would help the Reds this year that they'd be willing to part with.
There's the key right there that they'd be willing to part with.
Right, yeah. So I don't have any idea how it – my guess is – they were talking about a trade, and some pieces didn't fit, and so they called up the Reds and said, "Hey, can we, is Senzel available?" And the Reds, probably as they should with everybody that makes that call, said, "Well, yeah, it depends. You know, wait, what are you offering here?" And started a negotiation, I guess. But it sounds like it was little more than just that. So people kind of went nuts for one day, and it seems to me to be much ado about nothing. I'm not saying the Reds won't trade Senzel. I just don't see how it works in a trade with the Padres and Red Sox. So, but that was news, I guess. Maybe, kind of. I guess.
Don't you wonder how this stuff just kind of? I guess this is somebody in a front office somewhere that's trying to show off the reporter that they know something, you know, or that they're important. I can't see any other reason that you would leak something like this when there's no substance to it at all. What's the advantage to anybody?
I don't know. I mean, really, I don't know. I just the state of sports media these days is in flux, and there's like four people that break news, and everybody else just kind of writes about what the news they break. So it's a weird thing about who's trying to leak things, and I don't know. I just the whole story just made very little sense to me. So, but most things make very little sense to me because I'm not very smart.
I mean, you and I have talked in a while back. We both kind of felt that there was still something else kind of – you felt like there was something else going to happen. Do you still feel that way?
I don't think so. Well, let me amend that. I'm not convinced there's anything substantial that's going to happen before opening day. Would not be at all surprised if there were something big that happened mid-season around the trade deadline. But I think the Reds tried everything they could to upgrade from Freddie Galvis at shortstop and weren't able to do it. And there weren't a lot of options around there. And I think any of the discussion regarding Senzel was in terms of a deal of getting a shortstop in here that's better than the one that they currently have. Those shortstops aren't going to be available right now. So I guess it's possible there could be some kind of big trade, but I don't see it. What about you?
My feeling has dissipated. I had convinced myself pretty well that some other shoe had to drop before the season started. But as we've gotten closer to spring training and spring training started, I don't feel that way anymore. The Reds have said that they're kind of where they want to be, and blah 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 blah. And you just don't feel like there's a whole lot going on. Now, you know, that's not to say there isn't, because God knows we've been surprised many times before when deals dropped out of, you know, out of nowhere, but it just doesn't feel like it. And I don't know whether, you know, we were kidding ourselves before or whether things have changed or what, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, I mean, unless you can get an all-star somewhere that really upgrades everywhere, or you can get a shortstop that's better than Freddie Galvez, I'm not sure. There's not a lot of places that really someone that's really going to move the needle is going to be available right now. So I think they're going to ride with what they've got, and I'm, you know, it's a good or it's an above average team that they have right now. We'll see how good they can be and how good they will be. Now, Sonny Gray, the other news from the week, Sonny Gray threw 25 pitches for the first time. You know, he had bone chips removed from his right elbow, surgery last September, and no problems, threw well evidently. And one of the hitters he threw to is a live batting practice session. Was Shogo Akiyama. Have you heard of Shogo Akiyama?
He's the man.
Well, sort of. Yeah, sort of.
I can't tell you how excited I am to watch this guy play.
Well, let me read you a quote, and let's see if you still think that. Because I wonder, and I'm probably reading way too much into this this quote, but it makes me wonder whether he might have a slow... It might take him a little while to get adjusted to the big leagues. I think he is going to get adjusted. I think he's going to get on base. And I'm like you. I'm really happy to have this guy. But he hit against Akiyama, or against Sonny Gray. And Sonny Gray said, first of all, this was okay. It's early in camp, but you can tell when some guys get in the box, you want to lock it in and compete. You can see the look in his eyes. That's the first thing I look at when a hitter steps in. What are they giving me here from a body language thing? You could tell he was locked in. That was good to see. Quick hands. Skills are obviously there. I just wanted to see how he was as a competitor. That's just kind of nothing. Whatever. I mean, that's good. It's fine. But then Akiyama spoke through an interpreter after that live batting practice session. And he said this, "I was able to learn a lot. I know he's a great pitcher for the organization." True. "He taught me that a lot of pitchers raise their leg and try to change the timing for the batters." He said, "Overall, a lot of major league pitchers do that. I'm glad I was able to face him at the very beginning so I know what's coming." I think the adjustment to the major leagues may be, you know, it's not going to be just coming in and putting up big numbers like he has done in the past. There's going to be a learning curve there, as you would expect. But I'm still overall extremely excited.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, this, you know, I'm learning, blah, blah, blah. You know, part of that may just be trying to give something to the press, too. You know, learning how to deal with the American press. The two things concern me. And one of them is the media and one of them is fans. I think the guy's going to be good. I think he understands what his role on this team is, which is to get on base. And my guess is also to play good defense in the outfield, but more so to get on base. And if he struggles a little bit at the beginning, I'm concerned that fans are not going to give this guy a chance to be as good as he can possibly be. And the other thing that concerns me is the media. It drives me crazy seeing the comparisons to Ichiro. And there's been a lot of them.
People that know or just fans?
No, I'm talking about media.
I don't know about that. I don't know that I've seen that, and I think it's a silly comparison.
I've seen it two or three times.
That's setting the bar way too high.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they're talking about and most of it was, you know, how Ichiro was when he first came over. And some of it was quoting David Bell because he was playing in Seattle when Ichiro came over. And that, you know, that's just a crazy comparison. You know, let's let this guy be who he is, and hopefully he's going to be as good as we think he's going to be. I'm really excited to watch him play. I think he's going to be one of the better hitters on this team all the way around.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see what he brings to the lineup, especially from an on base standpoint. Only other news,
which is an area that they needed to improve. And honestly, with the guys that they signed, they aren't high on base percentage guys.
No, Moustakas is not particularly. Castellanos is a little higher, but not exactly Joey Votto. So getting a guy like Akiyama, who that's his reputation, it's definitely worth taking a flyer on that guy for what they're paying him.
Yep.
Really the only other news of note this week, before we get into a few questions, other than obviously the nonsense around Rob Manfred and the Astros and all that stuff, and we do have a question that we may get into a little bit of that, but former Red Tony Fernandez passed away this past week, only 57 years old, you know, evidently battled kidney problems for years, and tough break for a guy that he didn't play for the Reds for long, but had a really nice major league career. 17 years, only one of those with the Reds, but a really good shortstop, and then a third baseman later in his career. And that's kind of sad news. So kudos, Tony Fernandez. Rest in peace.
Yeah. I went and looked when about his the year he played. He played for the Reds in 94, which was a strike, which was the worst strike year ever. And my memory of Fernandez playing for the Reds was that he really didn't want to play third base.
Right.
But he did, and he played it pretty well, and he had a pretty good year for the Reds. And that was an interesting team because, you know, Larkin was on that team, and he was 30, and Reggie Sanders was 26, and Kevin Mitchell was on that team. And it was a pretty interesting team, Riho. And they finished first.
Yeah, for what good it did them.
For all the good it did, yeah. I noticed I was just looking at some different guys on there. Do you remember a guy named Kevin Jarvis?
Oh yeah, pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. You know,
I don't even know what made me look at this guy. And he was 24 when he pitched for the Reds in 94. He ended up he pitched in the big leagues for 12 years.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that convinced me he had a chance of being a really good pitcher. I don't realize he pitched for 12 years, though. Wow.
He pitched for 12 years and never had an ERA plus over 100.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty.
How do you pitch in the big leagues for 12 years and never have and never be above average?
Magic.
and he wasn't a left-hander. That was the first thing I thought. Well, maybe he was a left-hander.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the Kevin.
I just thought that was interesting, and it's kind of divergent from what we were talking about, which was Tony Fernandez, and it's very sad, and our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family.
Absolutely, no question about it. So now that the Kevin Jarvis portion of the program has concluded, I have one question for you before we get into some of the viewer mail questions that'll get us around some other Reds topics of the week, and that
okay.
is Bill. You kind of piqued my interest before we started recording here. Something about a dream.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't have dreams that I remember very often, and I don't think I've ever had a dream about the Reds that I remembered. But I had a dream about Sparky Anderson.
Okay, this kind of fits your hashtag brand.
Yeah, it really does. But Sparky was talking about this 2020 Reds team. You know, how come, things are kind of fade in and out when you dream. But Sparky told me, he says, I really wish I could write a book about this team because they're really going to be fun to watch. They're really going to be good. Sparky told me that in my dream. So if you got money and you believe in dreams, go out and bet big money on the Reds this year.
The problem is he was talking about the 1975 Reds.
No, he wasn't. He was very clear. He was talking about this team.
Well, there you go. So, let's all head to Vegas.
There you go. That's my Sparky. And he was in uniform.
Of course.
He was in the 70s Reds uniform.
All right. Mortgage the house. Let's go. Put it on the Reds.
Sparky, I'm just saying.
Sparky told me.
Just call me. What was her name? Cleo or?
Oh, the TV psychic.
The psychic on.
Yeah. I'm not going to call you that.
No. Thank you.
Let's answer a few questions here before we get into the questions. The first group of questions are going to be from our friends at patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can support Red Leg Nation Radio. Two new members of the pirate ship this past week. I shouldn't call it the pirate ship. I say that because we're, kind of out here on our own, but it has the word pirate in it, and we don't like that
name. Yeah, we need to come up with a better name.
Need something different. But anyway, two new joined up with us this week, and I just want to quickly thank them as much as I can because I really love all you folks that are supporting us at Patreon, helping us keep doing the things that we're doing. And I said last week, in the last 12 months, we've 62 episodes of the podcast for free in the free feed. 62 episodes, which is within the last 12 months. That doesn't include the Patreon exclusive ones that we do occasionally, and I really appreciate all you guys and gals and everybody that listens to the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast. First, Kevin Jacobson. Kevin, man, thank you so much for joining the club here, and you'll have your Slack invitation here soon to talk about the Reds on our Slack channel. But Kevin Jacobson, Kevin Jacobson, I'm thinking Kevin Jarvis now in my head. He's a pitcher, I guess, right? He's going to bounce around the league, but to put together a pretty good career.
Yeah, I think he is. He's a fourth, fifth starter guy,
Hey, and that's, hey, if you're a fourth, fifth starter, you get 12 years in the big leagues, bring it on. That's a real career. So
that's probably a pretty good pension, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Jacobson, thank you so much. Next, another Kevin this week, Kevin Lowe. What do you think about Kevin Lowe?
Kevins are wild today, huh?
They are. Here's what I think about when I think Kevin Lowe. I think about when I played Little League, and I hit one home run in Little League, and it was off a guy named Doug Rowe. And so Kevin Lowe reminded me of Doug Rowe. But now that would have to mean Kevin was a delinquent and ended up getting sent to juvie a couple years later. So, but a really good Little League pitcher. Instead, I'm going to go with Kevin Lowe as a closer.
I was thinking a catcher. Sounded like a catcher to
catcher,
me.
I can see that. See that. All right, we'll go with catcher. We'll go with
big,
catcher.
Big blocky guy, kind of built like, Joe Oliver, somebody like that.
Okay. I don't know what Kevin Lowe looks like, but I appreciate him joining us. I still think he's a juvenile delinquent catcher. Kevin.
But we do thank him. We appreciate them supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. So thank you to both of you. Let's answer some viewer mail. As always, these are actual letters from actual viewers. First, from patreon.com/redlegradio, comes from Isaac Starcher. Isaac says, I know it would be a widely unpopular decision, but if the Reds cannot get a premier shortstop via trade, why not take a flyer on Addison Russell? They need a true shortstop on the bench at least. I live in Illinois. The Cubs fans here still love him. I've watched him play a lot. He has a lot of talent, and it would be ideal to have three former Cubs doing well for the Reds to give me some ammunition against the local Cub fans. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to listen to Reds talk in a sea of Cubby blue. Thanks for the question, Isaac. Here's my opinion on Addison Russell. Addison Russell, of course, was suspended for 40 games in 2018 and then the beginning of 2019 as a result of an investigation by MLB that he abused his wife. And I'm making, I'm not in the business of making judgments about people based on, I don't have complete information about it. So I'm not going to say anything about Addison Russell as a person because I don't know. I'll say this, I can't imagine any way possible the Reds would be willing, with all the goodwill right now in Cincinnati, they'd be willing to take the PR hit that they will take if they were to sign Addison Russell. Russell, of course, will be 26 this year and, had a three-and-a-half war season, a four-win season at age 21 and 22. So, he's not been as good since then. But some talent there, I guess. But I think there is zero chance the Reds are going to be willing to take the PR hit for bringing on Addison Russell. Even though from a baseball sense, he might make sense for this team. I just, I don't, from a business sense, I don't see that happening. Any thoughts on Addison Russell?
Other than that season that you're talking about, the last 2 years, those partial seasons haven't been very good. I guess it depends on whether you believe he's that guy that had the really good year where he would made the All-Star team, or whether he's a guy they've seen the last 2 years, in which case he's not a whole lot better than Galvis. He's younger. And like you said, the PR hit that they would take would be incredible.
I think he's definitely better than Galvis. I mean, at his worst, he was a two-win player, and that's Freddie Galvis is not going to be that this year. But yeah, it's just not worth
it. Too much baggage.
Yeah, absolutely not worth it. So no, Reds, do not sign Addison Russell. Next question, and this one's specifically for you, Bill. Comes from Matt LaCron. Man, that's a great name, by the way. LaCron? LaCron? I may be saying that wrong every time. Matt, let me know. LaCron. I like, that's what I'm going to say it from now on. Matt LaCron says, how many Reds prospects has the Godfather chased off his lawn this year? What's the answer to that?
There's
Bill?
Nobody.
Nobody.
There's nobody that's a bigger fan of the Reds prospects than me, except maybe Doug Gray.
That's right. No, Bill is more excited about this Reds team than I've seen him excited in a long, long time. More enthusiastic than I am, even, I feel like. And I'm usually the rah-rah guy. I feel like you're really, really ready to watch a team that has a chance to compete, Bill. Am I misconstruing
the way
you feel?
You're absolutely right. I I've been listening to the last few weeks and listening to you, and I think you're looking for reasons to find the dark side on this team. You're worrying about every what if.
I know.
What if this? What if that? You're talking yourself into. I think you're trying to talk yourself into the worst possible scenario rather than, which isn't like you. Usually you're not in such a negative Nancy.
This team has beaten me down, Bill. They have beaten me down. The most positive guy generally. I'm just, ugh. So.
But I don't know where Matt got this in, but you know, I know I'm the grumpy old guy, but. I'm the guy that made the road trip last year to watch Reds farm teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt's just, it's just our running gag. Matt's trying to get in on it. So yep. Thanks for the question, Matt. Kyle Kapler.
Better than the banana hammock thing last week.
You didn't like the banana hammock question from last week?
No, it was the answer. It was farcing and, if he's not careful, I will take a picture of me in one of those and I will send it to him.
Yeah, and that's not going to be good for anyone.
That wouldn't be good for anyone.
If you didn't listen to last week's episode, it was a complete disaster. It went off the rails very quickly. Chris Garber and it just went completely off
the rails. Well, when you guys started talking about Charles Nelson Reilly, you knew it wasn't going to go well.
Exactly, and it did. It went down from there. But you can listen to us talk about Doug Gray shirtless and Bill in his banana hammock. Kyle Kapler asks at patreon.com/redlegradio, #brownviewermail, on a tier-based system, rate these three annoying Reds-related topics from most annoying, definitely annoying, and extremely annoying. I'm not sure that rating system, Kyle. I'm not sure I understand it because, again, I'm not very smart. But here are the three annoying Reds-related topics. Joey Votto's contract, Pedro Strop's hat-wearing mechanics, and the Pete Rose / Astros cheating, blah, blah, blah. Thank you and have a delightful day. Oh, thank you, Kyle. I will have a delightful day. First of all, Joey Votto's contract, that is, to me, probably the most annoying of all, just because we've heard it so many times. Every time somebody mentions Joey Votto, you got to hear, yeah, he's being paid $25 million for what? How is that still a thing?
Being the best hitter in the history of the franchise.
Yeah. You know, I finally went back and listened to Joey Votto's talk with Jim Day on the Jim Day podcast. And it's worth a listen if you haven't listened yet. But several times, Joey makes joking references to how much money he makes. And if you had something to do over again, what would you do? Oh, I'd try to make more money. And so, I mean, it's really, he's funny. Pedro Strop's hat-wearing mechanics. You're anti-Pedro Strop's jaunty cap angle, I bet.
Well, actually, you know, the problem is, you have to go to a special store to buy those hats where the bills aren't right in the front.
I'm not sure you understand how caps work, Bill.
And I don't want him to have to make all those trips to that special store to get that off-center bill on a hat. It's a lot of wear and tear on a relief pitcher, and I want him concentrating on the game. So that's my concern with the hat thing.
My biggest concern is I think that the way he wears his cap should be mandatory for everyone, and I'm upset that everyone else is not doing it.
Well, if everybody doesn't wear it the same way, then it's not really uniform, is it?
There you go. So everybody needs to adopt Pedro Strop's.
But if you've ever watched the TV series The Wire, in one of the episodes they discuss that special store where you buy those hats that aren't in the where the bills aren't exactly in the front.
Is that a McNulty conversation?
No, actually, it was Herc and one of the corner boys.
There you go. What a show. And the last one was the Pete Rose Astros cheating, all this stuff going on. Obviously, you know, every time something comes up with cheating or what, I'm sick of the whole Pete Rose gambling and Astros cheating. I'm sick of the whole discussion. And that is the Astros stuff has dominated everything. Of course, Pete Rose has to stick his nose into it because why wouldn't he? But, I want to hear no more about any of that nonsense. I know everyone's upset about the Astros. I'm upset about it too. It's worse than I thought it was initially, but. What are you going to do? I don't care if you're going to take away a trophy. It's passed. It's done. I don't understand why there's so much sturm and drang about it right now. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm with you. I'm tired of hearing about it, and I don't think masticating it again and again and again and again and again is accomplishing anything. Other than letting some players, get their venting out, was it handled badly? The cheating was awful, and then the way Major League Baseball handled it was awful. But I don't know what they could have done differently. So, And at what point is it time to move on? I don't know.
Well, yeah. There are column inches to fill or pixels to fill on the interwebs now, so they're going to keep talking about it. Because players keep talking about it, so I guess it continues to be news. I'm just like, what are you going to do? Let's ban all the players that did it. Okay, whatever. Do whatever you're going to do. Let's play baseball. The Reds are going to be pretty good.
And I didn't realize this till I heard it yesterday on MLB, was all of the players that admitted to it were given immunity by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you going to – you can't do anything to them. So what's the answer here?
Well, and I think that's part of the complaint is that they baseball chose not to punish those people. Although the fact of the matter is that's why you give somebody immunity. If you don't, they're not going to tell you about it, and they're the ones that had the information. So
right, the investigation never would have went anywhere if they hadn't gotten people to talk.
Yeah,
I mean you know that you deal with that every day.
Well, unless we already talked about the wire, huh? A little bit of wiretapping going on.
Put a little wiretapping in the clubhouse. There you go.
Figured it out. The real Todd Father asks, what should be Shogo's walk up at bat music? No, Shogo who? Which Shogo is he talking about?
Mr. Akiyama.
Okay. His initial thought was Mr. Roboto, so everyone could sing along while changing it to Thank You Very Much, Shogo Akiyama. Okay. But when I Googled it, they told me to ask Red Leg Nation Radio. So what are your thoughts? I've always said, everyone needs to pick a different Frank Sinatra song. Except for one player. Wayne Krenchicki can use Bruce Springsteen. I don't care.
I bet Bruce Springsteen lays awake at night just because you badmouth him so much.
I'm sure he does. I hope he soothes himself with stacks of $100 bills.
He lays in bed counting his money, worrying about.
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, whatever, man. It's just like your opinion, man. The real Todd Father, here's what I actually think is people need to. That's enough of the at bat music, the walk up music.
I have no answer to that question.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone should have whatever Joey Votto chooses. Let's just go with that. So the answer is I don't have any witty thoughts about it. I tried to think of something witty about Shogo's walk-up music, and I couldn't. Mr. Roboto's as good as anything else. We'll go with you, Todd Father.
It's Sticks music, and so that's not bad.
Who has more hit-by-pitches this year? This question is from Derek Moser. Derek, who has more hit-by-pitches this year, Alex Bregman or Derek Dietrich in AAA? Derek Dietrich or Alex Bregman? I don't know. I think that it's going to make players even more upset when they're not allowed to throw at these Astros. So I bet they're going to try to cut that out. I mean, you've heard of the rule changes, all that stuff. But Derek, I'm going to have to give it to Derek Dietrich because that guy he has figured out a way. It's kind of like Jason LaRue back in the day. Just knew how to lean into a pitch and play it off and get an extra base there. So I'm going to go with Dietrich.
I would agree with you. And I heard you guys talking, you and Chris talking and the week before talking to Jason about the roster makeup. And I was looking around today, and Mark Shelton has Dietrich making this team.
Yeah.
If Suarez is anywhere close to healthy, I just don't see how he can.
We got a question in a moment about that that allows us to get into that some. So hold that thought.
All right.
Here's the dreaded weekly Joe Farsing question. Lee May, Geddy Lee, or Geddy Watanabe, I guess. In other words, the Big Bopper, Tom Sawyer, or the Donger. I just said the Donger on Red Leg Nation Radio. Lee May, Geddy Lee, who is Rush, that band Rush. I don't know anything.
Yes.
I don't know anything about Rush. Don't care anything about Rush. Don't care anything about Geddy Lee Weinrib as he was born. And Geddy Watanabe, a sort of character actor. I don't know. Don't know much about him.
He was the Donger in 16 Candles.
That's all I know him
from. I think he was also in that movie with Michael Keaton about the car industry, wasn't it? Wasn't he in that also?
Batman?
Same guy? No, not Batman.
About the car industry. Boy, it sounds fascinating.
Your apologies to my best friend, Brett, who's a big Rush fan, but no, I'm not either.
But hold on. I want to know more about this fascinating movie that was about the car industry.
Oh, what was it?
Amazing.
Michael Keaton? Come on. You know what I'm talking about.
Is it that movie with Meryl Streep and a horse?
You're killing me. What's the name of the movie? Chad, come on. You're a movie guy.
That sounds like the worst movie in the history of movies.
No, it was about the Japanese company bought the American plant. Hang on.
Oh, yeah, boy. You're really selling it well now.
I didn't say it was a good movie. I'm just, you are absolutely freaking killing me here.
Was it Sesame Street?
Anyway.
Now, this guy was on ER, too. It's Watanabe.
What really? About
that? Oh, yeah. Mulan? Yeah, I have no idea.
Mulan? He's in the new Mulan, I assume?
No, I think he was in the one of the voices in the original.
He was a voice in the...
Yeah. Come on.
Anyway.
It's Lee May.
I will go for Lee May.
Got to be Lee May. Come on.
And I'll tell you why. I have a reason. What was Lee May's number?
14.
23.
No, I'm pretty sure it was 14.
No, I'm pretty sure it was 23.
Okay.
And my wife's birthday is May 23rd.
And?
So Lee May, number 23, is the correct answer.
And your favorite athlete of all time? Come on. LeBron James?
No.
No.
He's not even my favorite NBA player.
Of course not. It's obviously Malcolm Brogdon of the Indiana Pacers. Duh. So, Joe, you outdid yourself that time. and I say that now because, well, we'll get to Joe again in a moment. Andrew Scott Wills, if you were...
Can we ban Joe?
No, unfortunately. I would like to. His next question is, are my questions annoying, amusing, or both? I would add another, I may add neither. They're just maybe slightly annoying. I tire of you, Joe. Not really. I appreciate the creativity every single week. It's
we appreciate the support.
It's something dumb every week, and I love it. Because we love nothing more than talking about dumb stuff here on Red Leg Nation Radio. If you've listened for at least just like 6 seconds of any previous podcast, you'll already know that. Andrew Scott Wills asks, if you are a baseball, which red slugger of all time would you least like seeing to step into the batter's box? Hash Brown, viewer mail. If you're a baseball, which red slugger, I know who you're going to say, but which red slugger of all time would you least like to see step into the batter's box? My answer is Kevin Mitchell.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Really? Second mention of Kevin Mitchell on today's podcast.
I know.
But, Kevin Mitchell, that guy destroyed baseballs. I figured you were going to bring out a little bit of Ted Klazuski.
I thought about him, but Mitchell just hit the snot out of the baseball. I mean,
he did. Can we say snot on a family podcast?
Yes, we can.
Okay,
I just wished he'd played a little more.
Yeah, definitely. Dwight Kelly, have you wondered if Puig will be playing in Japan? Yasiel Puig, I presume. He's already sumo wrestler there this offseason. I have not wondered if he will be playing in Japan. No, to answer your question. And neither has Bill. I'm going to answer that for him. Next question. What would each of you ask in return if you were challenged to a bona fide sumo match? And there's no getting out of the outfit either. Let me just tell you this. Here's what I would ask in return. Nothing. That's called Tuesday night for me. See, the joke there, Bill, is that I do sumo wrestling on Tuesday nights at the local Y.
I bet you're cute in that outfit.
Well, you know, ain't nobody complaining. Kevin Jacobson asks, Kevin. Welcome, Kevin. Did you have a sumo wrestling comment before we get to Kevin's question?
Wonder why they don't use sumo wrestlers for goalies in hockey?
No, I don't ever wonder that either. No.
I somebody was talking about that on a TV show or a movie or something one time, and I went, they could just block the whole goal.
Well, okay. I can tell you're a big hockey fan, so I'm not going to engage in that discussion with you. Kevin Jacobson asks, back-to-back questions from our new subscribers, Kevin Jacobson and Kevin Lowe here. Kevin, when the trade deadline rolls around this year, how far ahead or behind do the Reds need to be in order for you to A, stand pat with the current roster, B, make a big trade, dealing prospects for a win-now move, or C, trade away players to get assets for next year? Let's talk a little bit about this question, because a lot of people... ask this question, and I want to kind of frame it in terms of expectations for the season. Let's say we get to the near the trade deadline. For the Reds to trade away players to get assets for next year, a couple things. First of all, they have to be completely out of the race. Everything has to have cratered already at that point. They have to be almost mathematically eliminated. And the only players we're talking about trading at that point are guys like Bauer and DeSclafani that are not, you know, under contract for next year. You agree with that part of it, Bill?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, stand pat with the current roster? My opinion is that they will not stand pat. They won't want to stand pat with the current roster, no matter where they are.
I agree.
I think that if they're around 500 or if they're way out in front, I think they're going to be trying to improve the roster. I really, truly believe that at the trade deadline. Now, is that going to be a big trade where you deal prospects like he's saying? I don't know. You know, maybe Francisco Lindor becomes available at the trade deadline. You make a big move. I could see that happening, certainly a lot more than the chances of us getting him over this past offseason. So I don't think the Reds are going to stand pat either way, Kevin. I really don't. Any comments about that, Bill, before we move on to the next one?
I agree with you. I think they're going to be looking to improve. If they're within five games or closer, I think they'd be more apt to go more in for this year. If they're 10 games or more, I think you'd be looking more at the assets for next year and beyond. That's where I think in the games, you know, ahead or behind, or that, to answer that part of his question.
Yeah, I don't think there's any scenario under which they tear it down, you know, fire sale.
No.
You know, so it's going to be a different trade deadline than we've ever really been accustomed to seeing in Cincinnati, certainly in the recent past. Kevin?
Probably since, they brought in David, his name just ran out of my head, the left-handed pitcher, David Wells.
David Wells, yeah.
At the deadline and you know, some other guys that bucked the team up right at the trading deadline.
Juan Guzman,
yeah. So, Gung Ho, that was the name of that movie.
Gung Ho. I'm gonna go out to my local Blockbuster and rent that tonight on VHS. Okay. Kevin Lowe asks, I only recently discovered your book, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds. Sorry, Kevin, that's actually Chris Garber's book. I'm excited to devour what I assume is its glorious content. Oh, you have no idea. It's amazing. But I also just had my first child. Congratulations, an adorable little girl named Lulu. It's a great name. Love it.
Congratulations.
Yes. He says, I'm calling her Sweet Lou and telling people that she's named after Lou Piniella. What do you think about that, first of all, Bill? It's a bold move.
I think his wife's going to be putting knots on his head.
I know, right?
What are you doing with that skillet? Bong!
My son's name is Casey Sean Dotson, and I used to tell people that he was named after Sean Casey, and my wife about throttled me as well. While this little girl's a dream, I currently don't have time to read your book. I'm sure you don't with a new child. My question is, will you read it to me or at least sell me an audiobook version? We've had that conversation a lot about the, is there going to be an audiobook version? And there's not one currently in the works, but I tell everyone, for the right price, I'll call you over the phone and read it to you. I got no problem with that. But, you know, it's going to cost you. So... Are you desperate?
The problem with the idea of an audio, and I'm looking at your book even as we speak here.
I appreciate you pretending that you own the book, Bill. That actually means a lot to me.
I do own the book. You know, it's not autographed, but I do own the book. But you know what? If it was an audio book, you would miss out on so much of the great pictures that are in this book.
Yeah, that was my contribution, is that I said I didn't write any of the book, but I said we need pictures because I like books with pictures. So
well, I knew you didn't write it because I didn't read y'all in here anywhere.
A single tear just rolled down my cheek. Listen, Bill, I'm not.
I can't help it. You talk funny.
Oh, I don't talk funny. The rest of you do. Kevin, thank you for getting the book. You are going to enjoy it. It is, again, I'm completely biased, but I think it's a lot of fun. And when you finally get around to reading it, when Sweet Lou is, you know, like 9 or 10 years old or 18, I think you'll enjoy it. And the benefit of it is, you know, the way the Reds have been going lately, there's nothing that's going to happen for the Reds that will make the book go out of date. There's certainly nothing since it came out that made it go out of date because, you know, the Reds haven't had any highlights lately. Nathan Connor.
Well, Kevin, every child likes to be read to at night. You could read your daughter The Big 50 as a bedtime story. And you would also be training her to be a Reds fan at the same time.
And giving her ammunition to be resentful about you when she's an adult. Isn't that what kids do? They resent their parents anyway?
No.
Just my kids?
Just yours.
Oh, okay.
I think your kids got it pretty good, Chad.
I think if they ask them, they might say something different. Nathan Connor asks, and this is a good one. This is a really an important question to me. I think I'm really interested to see. Well, I don't want to see what this happened, but if it happens, it'd be really interesting to see the right now the good feelings around the club are you can feel them. Nathan says excitement about the Reds is extremely high right now. A lot of new faces in the clubhouse. If this team gets off to a slow start, how do you think the fans respond if June rolls around and the Reds are under 500? What about the players' reaction? I don't know if the players will have a reaction. They're pros. They'll keep going to work and trying to win. But if the Reds are under 500 when June gets here, that's going to be terrible news for the organization because people are going to be staying away from Great American Ballpark. They're going to be like, same old Reds, and it's not going to justify the investment that ownership made into the Major League payroll this winter. Can you imagine what happens, what the response would be, Bill?
Oh, it'd be awful, and all of the faith and credibility that this new front office has built up with ownership would be on extremely shaky ground. But I resent the premise of the question because we're going to be 15 games over 500 on June 1st and starting to roll.
That's what I'm talking about. Chris Garber and I were talking a little bit. Not even just June. If this team's not like 500 after 10 games or something, if they get off to a start like they had last year,
and the year before.
Yeah, it's just going to crater. But now if they start out 7-3, 8-2, something like that, 162-0, then people are going to be really excited.
You can't win them all if you don't win the first one.
That's a fact. So I think that's going to be really one of the narratives we'll be watching. What happens? Is this team going to get off to a good start? If they do get off to a good start, I think that excitement goes through the roof. I think lots of riding on the first month of the season. Kyle Kapler, if Eugenio Suarez was a Sesame Street character, which one would he be and why? If Eugenio Suarez, again, that's the second time we mentioned Sesame Street today. If he was a Sesame Street character, which one would he be and why? Snuffleupagus.
I don't really know the Sesame Street. I was a Muppet guy, but not really a Sesame Street guy.
Bill was a Muppet guy. We just learned today that Bill was a Muppet guy.
When I was in the Navy, that was one of the most popular television shows on the ship.
Our American Fighting Forces. I love it. Fantastic. Yep. Actually, that show was back in the day was really, really. It was kind of edgy.
And everybody wanted to be on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All the big stars. Yep. I bet Sissy Spacek was on it. She was a big star. Sissy Spacek.
Where did you pull that from?
Buddy, if I knew how my brain worked.
I know what it was. It's because she's a coal miner's daughter, and that's what did it for you.
Truth of the matter is the coal miner's daughter was filmed right here in Wise County, Virginia.
Really?
It was, yes. Kyle, a better question is if Joey Votto were a Sesame Street character, he would obviously be. I mean, this is obvious, right? He'd be the count. Nobody works the count like Joey Votto. Huh?
Oh, that's good. That's pretty good. No, that's pretty good. I like that.
Now, Joe, I've already answered one of your questions, actually two of your questions. I'm not answering the next one because while it is amusing and I'm giggling about it, this is a family podcast. And I don't think that I could say that without giggling in control.
Yeah, we don't need that one. We don't need that one.
Yeah, we're going to pass on that one. Rich Thompson. Recently, Doug Gray did a story on Red Leg Nation entitled, "Which Red Spring Training Battle is Most Intriguing?" Well, which one will be the most intriguing in your opinions, and why? And here's my opinion on that. There are no intriguing spring training battles for the Cincinnati Reds right now. Really, the only battles are for the last reliever, or the last and the last the backup infielder or the fifth outfielder. And I can't get worked up. I don't think any of them are that interesting. Do you see any kind of interesting actual battles for positions on the Reds right now?
No, I think the most intriguing thing about this team is something that's going to evolve as the season goes along, and that's how is David Bell going to get everyone. How's he going to use the multitude of versatile players that he seems to have?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not your traditional battles.
Right, it's not a battle, but I think that's the most intriguing thing. That's the thing that right now that I'm the most interested in seeing unfold.
Yeah. Is Blandino or Van Meter going to be the backup infielder? Okay. I like both those guys. I don't mind having either of them. Is Aquino going to get that fifth outfielder spot? Is Philip Irvin going to get it? Okay, whatever. Scott Schebler? Whatever.
Do you think there's any chance Schebler makes this team?
If there are injuries, perhaps, but that's about the only way I see it.
Let's assume everybody's healthy.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. Now, I heard you and Chris and you and Jason talking about the last outfield spot. And I think you and Chris kind of disagreed, didn't you? Or did you flip on Irvin, then keeping Aquino instead of Irvin? Is that the way you ended up?
He wanted to keep Irvin, I believe, and I wanted to keep Aquino.
Do you really think they'll let Irvin walk when Aquino's got an option left? I'm not saying what they should do or anything like that. Do you think they would?
No, I think I said, maybe I didn't say that, but maybe just in my head. No, I think Irvin has the inside edge, and that's the reason. But I think Aquino's a better player, and so I want the best players in Cincinnati, as we talked about all last spring. Irvin and Schebler are both out of options. So, are they going to let both those guys walk? You need organizational depth. So, you can justify keeping Irvin over Aquino just based on that, because you're going to need some organizational depth over the course of a season. But
right.
I just think, and I'm not going to scream about it if they keep Irvin over Aquino. I like Aquino better. I think Aquino makes the team better, even if just marginally.
Well, I think he's a better defensive player.
Aquino?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I also, he doesn't have dramatic splits.
Yeah, but it's a guy that's going to be hitting against, left-handed pitching mostly.
Yeah, but his splits left and right aren't as dramatic as Irvin's are left to right.
I like the idea of your fifth outfitter being Aristides Aquino and having that bat on the bench ready to come off the bench and hit a ball into the river at any time. So, but I like Irvin too. Whatever, Again, I think it probably will be Irvin. I just don't think it should be Irvin. But it depends on what you mean by should be. Straight talent, it should not be. But you need organizational depth and you want to keep some of these guys around. And so, I can't argue with that decision if that's what they do. Rich Thompson, one last question here from patreon.com/redlegradio. Besides being an MLB and Reds fan, I'm also a fan of college baseball since I work at a college university in the state of Virginia. Unfortunately, most of the recent NCAA Division I polls do not have a single Virginia college or university in the top 25. By the end of the season, do you foresee any Virginia colleges and universities breaking into the top 25 and qualifying for the NCAA regionals? Obviously, Rich, William and Mary, come on. Dumb question. Let's answer a couple more here, and then we'll get out to Bill. Some questions from twitter.com/redlegradio, where you too can follow us and talk to us about the Reds all the time. Petros Wills asks, here's an actual letter for Hash Brown Viewer Mail. How much does a Reds success rely on the success of Shogo Akiyama? If he doesn't transition well to MLB, can they make up for it? Who'd be your second choice for the presumed leadoff spot? I don't think that much depends on Akiyama's success. I think his success really raises the expectations for the team a lot. But I think this can still be a really good team if he struggles at least even initially, even if just initially, in his transition to MLB. The Reds have three other outfielders that I really like. You know, if Akiyama is not quite what we hoped he would be, in Senzel, Winker, and Castellanos.
I thought it was Castellanos.
That was filthy, what you just said, Bill.
No.
That was a horribly filthy joke, and I don't appreciate it on my podcast. That's not the first time I've heard a frustrated sigh from Bill Lack.
Over the course of the last however long we've known each other.
Exactly. Who'd be your second choice for presumed leadoff spot? For me, I'm probably, I like Votto in that spot, to be honest with you, right now in his career. Probably Nick Senzel, I think, of the available options, though I'd probably say Senzel. Who's your second choice? That's presuming Akiyama's first choice.
I'm fine with you. It'd probably be Senzel. Do you've got Votto in the two hole?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah. I don't know that's where he should be. I think that's where he's going to be. I think that's where he should be, actually, right now, until he shows me otherwise.
Yep.
So, boy, they got a lot of hitters this year to put into spots, unlike last year.
This could be a dangerous lineup if you know, plays do what
could
if they perform to the level that they're expected to. I don't want to say hope because.
All right.
Go ahead, say it.
No, I'm not gonna say it. Tyler Noonan asks, hash brown viewer mail question, with the roster all but set, what are the chances we see a current player extended during spring training? Any particular candidates jump out at you? I'd love to see Lorenden locked up for the long haul, he says. Thank you for the question, Tyler. What do you think, Bill? You see any current players being extended? I think a guy like Luis Castillo is a guy that I would really be looking to sign, but again, I'm not sure the Reds will do that for a pitcher. He's the one that jumps out to me.
Castillo or Senzel.
I would have said Senzel if he'd had maybe a little bit better season last year. But of course, maybe you can get him at a better rate right now. I don't know. He's a guy that I think is going to be at least an average big league player, and probably above average. And I would love to see him extended. If you could get him like on a Suarez type deal, where you're for a lot of years at a reasonable price, man, I think. And I don't know that he would do that. I really don't. But I think you'd have to jump at that opportunity. And if I'm him, I don't know that I would do it because. You got one chance to make some money, so get those dollar bills. No one else I can really think of that in terms of an extension that would make a lot of sense. Freddie Galvis, I guess. No?
It has to be for less than he's making now.
Long term.
But the Senzel thing, you know, if you're the Reds, now's the time to try to get him to sign.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and he did say this week that he would like to play here forever.
You know, the thing about Nick Senzel that I have come to learn is Nick Senzel says the right thing every chance he gets. You know,
he's a smart young man.
He is. He doesn't, with all the nonsense with the not being called up on the roster and playing games with the service time, he never said anything other than, hey, when I'm in Louisville, I want to help the Louisville Bats win games. When I'm in Cincinnati, I want to help the Cincinnati Reds win games. Maybe cliche occasionally as athletes do, but you got to say he's been pretty savvy because he's not made a misstep yet. I just hope he has some success on the field this year in the big leagues. I think people are going to fall in love with that kid. Last question.
Wait a minute.
Goodness gracious.
When you were talking to Senzel,
yes.
Did you broach the Chris Bryant lawsuit and those issues with him?
I did. He didn't take the bait.
Didn't he?
Nope. You'll see my answer in an upcoming issue of Cincinnati Magazine around opening day.
I cannot wait to read the article, my friend.
Well, I hope it lives up to its advanced billing. But, yeah, I got into it, and I tried to get him to talk about it. And he was not taking the bait at all. And he knows my opinion on all of that, about the way he was treated. But it was a sympathetic ear that he could have said it to, but nope.
Well, that's the other thing, though, you know. When you talked to him, was it before or after the Bryant thing was set, was ruled on?
Before.
Okay.
So, and I don't know. Those are not a perfect comparison, those two, about the, in terms of the way it happened. The Reds had plausible deniability because of the injury they end up sustaining, but yeah. Come on, get out of town with that nonsense. All right, last question comes from our buddy Rob Chapman at RobChap17. 17, of course, for Chris Sabo. That's what I'm saying. What's the non-pitching playing time for Michael Lorenzen look like now with all the other outfielders? Hash Brown, viewer mail. The non-pitching playing time for Lorenzen with all the other outfielders. Not sure how it makes a lot of sense to play much in the field. I think he'll pinch hit a lot. What do you think?
I don't understand the pitching position player rule well enough yet. I think he still might be their best defensive center fielder. So you might use him late in the game, possibly. But
I could see him as a defensive replacement if you have Akiyama out there, maybe late in the game. I don't know that he's better than Senzel at this point, but yeah, I don't see it. I think you're right, Rob. There's a lot of good other outfielders going to get a lot of playing time in the field, and Lorenzen, I think, will pinch hit a good bit. But I see him pinch running. Can't see him playing a lot of defense. I just don't know how it fits in, but maybe he will. You know, maybe put him in left field for Jesse Winker at the end of a game or something like that. You know, I can see that type of thing, one inning occasionally.
You're talking about pinch hitting. I could see him pinch hitting for Winker.
Yeah, sure. Left-handed reliever comes in.
Yep.
I could see that.
So. And I cannot state again how much I hate the three-batter rule.
Well, you can state it again, and you probably will. I hope you do. I like listening to you talk about stuff you hate. I don't know. Bill, I don't think
it helps. I don't think it improves the game.
Yeah, you know, I am not against change. I think every other sport changes. You watched the All-Star game of the NBA this week, and if you got the chance to see it, you saw that the change in that format was fantastic. It turned a dumb exhibition into a really fun game. I'm not against changes. The NBA makes changes all the time. The NFL makes changes all the time. Sometimes you got to do that. Change for change's sake or something like that I'm not sure what they're trying to fix with that. You know, it's going to cut down a little bit on the time of games. Okay, maybe. I don't know. It's sort of a fundamental change that I don't really understand either. So can't say I hate it, but I don't understand it, and I don't love it. You know, if they want to enforce a pitch clock or make you stay in the batter's box when you get into the batter's box,
that would speed the game up a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would sign up for that. I don't have a problem with that. That's not a fundamental change in the game. But, heck, I wouldn't be opposed if there was some kind of a fundamental change in the height of the mound or something like that that caused more balls to be put into play. It makes it a more interesting game when more balls are put into play. I wouldn't mind some kind of even a real fundamental change like that. They've done it before. So, I don't know. Baseball can be fixed, but it's a pretty good game as it is as well. So, any final thoughts, Bill Lack? No?
Baseball games start this weekend.
Yeah, finally we get a chance to watch this new-look Reds team. Bill and I are Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 311. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you find it. Everybody's got a podcast app on their phone these days. Search for us. We'll be there. All the places you get your podcast, Red Leg Nation Radio is there. You can also find us at Twitter at Red Leg Radio and then at RedLegNation.com where we're following the Reds and have been every single day since 2005. This was a fun one for Bill Lack and Kevin Jarvis. This is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.